this is the story of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, perhaps the most remarkable, certainly the most successful book ever to come out of the great publishing corporations of Ursa Minor.
Douglas Adams, creator of a quirky world of talking intergalactic guidebooks and restaurants at the end of the universe, died suddenly of a heart attack Friday. His best-known work was The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where hapless human Arthur Dent and his chatty companion from Beetlejuice, Ford Prefect, set out on a series of picaresque adventures across the universe. The guide began as a radio play, airing on the BBC and NPR. There were many incarnations, a best-selling book with several sequels, a BBC television series, a stage play, a computer game, and there were plans to make it into a film. In this 1982 interview, Douglas Adams explained that he was trying to turn the science in science fiction on its head.
It's the constant abutting of logical ideas with wild extrapolation of those ideas, which maintain some kind of internal logic, or when they do twist the logic, actually twist it very firmly.
The Babel fish is small, yellow, leech-like, and probably the oddest thing in the universe. It feeds on brainwave energy, absorbing all unconscious frequencies and then excreting telepathically. Now, it is such a bizarrely improbable coincidence that anything so mind-bogglingly useful could evolve purely by chance that some thinkers have chosen to see it as a final clinching proof of the non-existence of God. The argument goes something like this. I refuse to prove that I exist, says God, for proof denies faith, and without faith I am nothing. But, said man, the Babel fish is a dead giveaway, isn't it? It proves you exist, and so therefore you don't. QED. Oh dear, says God, I hadn't thought of that, and promptly vanishes in a puff of logic. Oh, that was easy, says man, and for an encore he proves that black is white and gets killed on the next zebra crossing.
This is something I like to sort of call judo thinking. You get to the first scene of your plan, and you don't actually manage to make it funny, so you have to turn it on its head in some way, which means then your plan goes out of the window and you have to do something else following on from what you've done. But at one point, fairly early on, Ford Prefect and Arthur Dent get hurled gratuitously out of this ship. So I thought they've got to be rescued somehow or other. And I was instantly up against the problem of, you know, it was going to be extremely improbable.
So this is it. We're going to die.
Yes. Except, no. Wait a minute. What's this switch?
What? Where?
No, I was only fooling. We are going to die after all.
You know, it's at times like this when I'm trapped in a Vogon airlock with a man from Beetlejuice and about to die of asphyxiation in deep space that I really wish I'd listened to what my mother told me when I was young.
Why? What did she tell you?
I don't know. I didn't listen.
So I thought, all right, let's turn it on its head. Actually, let's use the problem against itself and invented the idea of the improbability drive, which is why they get picked up, and then develop it from there.
2 to the power of 20,000 to 1 against and falling.
Arthur, this is fantastic. We've been picked up by a ship with the new infinite improbability drive. I mean, this is really incredible, Arthur. Arthur? What's happening?
Ford, there's an infinite number of monkeys outside who want to talk to us about this script for Hamlet they've worked out.
People say, oh, it must be, you know, great to write something because you can go anywhere, do anything you like. In fact, that becomes a terrible, terrible restriction because the only way you can convincingly suggest that you are going anywhere, doing anything, is by building in a hidden logic.
Douglas Adams, the creator of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, died Friday at the age of 49. So long, and thanks for all the fun.